Impossible. That is the series that we're in. Last week we introduced this series. We chose the name on purpose of the series. It's Mission Possible because it's not only possible, but it's also very biblical. And we talked about our mission last week. Let me just remind you, our mission here at Bible Baptist Church is more and better disciples. That's what we're all about here, more and better disciples. And we're also challenging us, not just as a church corporately, but individually, our mission, your mission, my mission should be to reach more people for Jesus Christ. And when they become a follower of Christ, or when we become a follower of Christ, we want to become better disciples. And we also talked about the fact that this mission will not just happen just by chance. Certainly not by luck. It takes some purpose. It takes some planning. And last week we introduced the purpose of becoming a better disciple by pursuing spiritual maturity. We looked at that last week. And if you were here, maybe you remember that pursuing spiritual maturity takes work, train, and then it takes focus. You train yourself to be godly, and then it brings results. And that's the great news about pursuing spiritual maturity. When you do that, you'll have results that happen in your life. And God will be doing things in your life to help you grow, to help you become a better disciple. So this morning, we want to continue on talking about how to become a better disciple. So we're going to look at a second purpose, and this is the purpose. This is where you might want to write it down if you have an insert. We're going to talk about the purpose of being willing to connect with other believers. To connect with other believers. This will help us to become better disciples when we connect with other believers. And I want to start off by just making this statement. In spite of the strides we have made with technology and social media, we still see a large disconnect in our society when it comes to personal interactions. And you know, and you've seen this, I've seen this, and it's not just the younger generation, it's us as well. And one of the things I saw last night on TV, there was a commercial, and they're supposed to get you to buy their product, obviously. But I was just distracted by what was happening, and I didn't really buy their product. But I think it was a pizza commercial. I won't name the company because that would probably be bad to that I didn't remember their name. But so it was a pizza commercial, and what happened was on the TV, they were watching TV, And the commercial came out about the pizza, but as they're watching, it was a dad and a son. They were just having a moment on the couch. But what was happening while they're watching TV? The dad was on his phone, and the son was on his phone, and they were doing two different things. The son was playing a game, and the dad was texting. And then there was a commercial on TV, and miraculously the commercial broke through. But as I was looking, you could see the screens on the phones. They were doing totally separate things. But weren't they in the same room with each other? Yes. And was the technology going quickly? Yes. And maybe social media? Absolutely. But were they really connecting with each other? I don't think so. They kind of looked up and went, oh, pizza. And behind them was the mom who had the pizza, and they're like, cool. And then they start eating the pizza. What? I probably went back to their phones. Now, I'm not anti-technology, please. I have a smartphone. It took me a long time because I didn't want to pay for a smartphone. I just kept asking for a dumber one, and they kept looking at me and say, we don't sell dumber phones anymore. You have to buy a smart one. So I'm not against smartphones, but just because we have technology doesn't mean that we're connecting. It really doesn't. And as a church and as followers of Christ, it doesn't just happen as well. It doesn't just happen that we connect with other believers. And I would submit to you that Sunday morning is probably not the best platform to really connect with people. You can a little bit, but it's not really the best platform because you're sitting here, you're looking at me, correct? Most of you are looking at me, and it's awkward at times, but you're looking at me. But then you have maybe somebody next to you, maybe you don't, but you're looking in the back of the heads of everybody else, correct? So you're not really connecting with them unless they're causing a problem. And then maybe you connect with them, and that's even equally awkward. So it's not just going to happen that we connect with other believers. And when we talk about connecting, when I mention connecting with other believers or connecting with other people, inevitably there's pushback. Because people want to know, why do we need to be connecting? I mean, really. I know enough people. I have like 7,000 people on Facebook that are my friends. Why do I need to connect? I'm not saying that personally. And by the way, I'll talk to you about that later because you really don't have that many friends. I'm just saying, good for you, but you don't, okay? So the idea is where you're like, I don't really need this. And you're like, hey, I know how to tweet. I know how to text. I can even use Instagram. Yay for you. Do I still need to connect? Yes, you do. And so I want to challenge you from the beginning here by looking at several reasons why connecting with other believers is very, very biblical. Very biblical. So if you have your Bibles with me, I want you to go with me if you can. I think the page numbers are in your insert, so if you already see that page number, you can go ahead and go to that. But let's mention the first one, and then we'll go to the verse. First reason why connecting is biblical is you were created for connection. You were created for connection. Genesis chapter 2, if you want to turn there with me. Genesis chapter 2, you were created for connection. All the way back at the beginning of time as we know it. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, it says this. The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." So the context here is all the animals have been made. Adam has been made. He's named the animals. And God sees the creation there, and he sees that Adam is all by himself and realizes he could use somebody else around. He realizes that these animals were created, but that the human that he created was also created for connection. And sometimes we look at this verse, and rightly so, that this verse is talking about marriage to some degree, but marriage is not the only thing here. Look at it this way. When Adam was created, how many humans were there? One. I mean, after him. There was one human. So God looks around and thinks, okay, there's one. It wasn't just a marriage thing. This is going to be better if there are two. So he created Eve not only for the first wedding, but also because God realized that we were created for connection. We need to have people in our lives. We need to have someone in our life on purpose because we were created for that. We're not created to be people that live in a cave all by ourselves. I mean, some have tried that because they're just antisocial or whatever, but it just doesn't work that way. It brought to my mind, the idea that we were created for connection brought to my mind a movie that came out several years ago. It's called Castaway, and it starred Tom Hanks, and he was playing the role of Chuck Nolan. And what happened was he was on a UPS plane or something kind of plane, and the plane crashed, and he is stranded on a deserted island for 4 years before he's rescued. That's a long time to be by yourself. But one of the ways he learned to cope is that a volleyball from the wreckage washed up on the shore, and he put a face on the volleyball and called it Wilson, because it was made by Wilson. And in the course of the movie, Wilson becomes his connection. And if you remember that movie, he is devastated when he loses Wilson. It's pretty sad because he's just, Wilson! Now, listen, I didn't write the script. I'm just telling you the story. But here's what it illustrates. He was desperate for connection. You and I were created for connection. It's biblical. So we have to be aware of that, that we need people in our lives. The idea of that being taken away from us is kind of scary. And I put it this way, people come in all shapes and sizes and varieties. Don't we live in a very diverse world, which is great. But in the midst of all that diversity, there's one thing that every single person in this room has in common. We need people in our lives because we were created for connection. We do. And we're created for that relationship with God, but also other people. Here's a second biblical reason why we need to be connecting. Life works better when you're connected. It really does. Like, that's in the Bible. It is. Life works better when you're connected. I want you to see this. Take your pew Bible if you'd like. There's a page number there, or you can just look on the screen or take your own Bibles. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Life works better when we're connected. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, I'll let you turn there a little bit if you'd like. Some of you don't want to because you're not sure where it is. Job, Psalms, Proverbs. Find Proverbs. Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Listen to this. Two are better than how many? One. Because they have a good return for their labor. If either one of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm, but how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. This is alluding to the fact life is better when you're connected. If you're looking at these verses, let me kind of illustrate it for you. It says here that work is more successful when it's shared. It says, two are better than one. They have a good return for their labor. If someone's helping you together, it's one of those things, having hands to help you get the work done. There's a saying about more hands make light work or something like that, right? I mean, the idea is if you're out to do a task, you're out to chop some wood or things like that. If you have some people out there helping you, it gets accomplished better. And if for some reason you miss with the axe and you cut off a toe or so, it's nice to have somebody around to call somebody else to get you. So the idea is, it works better when you're connected. Then it says, connection brings help and comfort and protection in these passages. So biblically speaking, spiritually speaking, life works better when you're connected. I don't know if you're willing to admit this at times, but I am. Every once in a while, I could use some help. Every once in a while, I could use some comfort. Every once in a while, I could use some protection, not only from God, but from other people. And if I'm connected, that's what happens. And then the end of it. It says, life is safer when you have someone to pick you up and to defend you. And it's not saying that you're a wimp. You're like, guys, like, I don't need anybody. I'm good. It's not what it's talking about. It's not just talking about physical defense. It's also talking about spiritually. We need people to help us along the way. And then that last verse of Ecclesiastes 4. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. What he does, he changes the number on us right away. Instead of saying two is better than one, he says, hey, if you can get three, that's awesome. So he's saying if you have three people in your life, then it's going to be a great benefit to you. Life is going to go better. Because here's what happens. When you're alone, you're at risk. Spiritually speaking, when you're alone, you're at risk. If you don't invite people in your life. And your life will go better spiritually if you invite people in. It will go better. It was kind of neat. This past week, Pam and I had the opportunity to have dinner with several couples that are recently kind of come to check our church out. And there are three couples. And they kind of hang out together. They've known each other for years. But it was really kind of a neat thing because as we were with them for dinner, they were talking about their spiritual journey and walking that together. And you could tell it was like a cord of three strands. That they relied on each other. And not one couple would say, we don't need these other people. They're part of our lives. And they would say their life was better because those people were with them. So we need to do that. Third biblical reason why connections are important. Connections are God's design for the church. Connections are God's design for the church. When God designed the church, He designed it with connections in mind. How do we know this? Thank you for asking. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. If you want to turn there, that would be great. Maybe in your Bible, you might want to be writing by these passages the word connections. So when you go back and read it again, you're there. So Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 19. This is what Paul says to describe the church. He says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers. Now, he is talking about the idea that before Christ, we didn't really know anything about grace and those kind of things. But he is saying that without Christ, you and I would somehow be strangers. You understand what I'm saying? That we have a bond in Christ that brings us out of that stranger room and then that foreigner kind of mentality. But then it says, but you're fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. Verse 21, in him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. So in that passage, I know you probably only see that, oh, there's a whole one there. Leave that one there, Rick. Leave it there for me. So notice that second line. When we become part of God's church, both corporately and individually, it says we are fellow citizens. So we're citizens together. Then it says we're members of the same household. In the words of, maybe it was Sly, I'm not sure, and somebody else, we are family, okay? We are family, according to that. Then it says you're built on the foundation of Christ and in him the whole building. We're actually parts of the building here. And then we are a holy temple in the Lord. All these metaphors, they imply so strongly the idea of connection. We're family. We're part of the building. We're part of the temple. We're citizens together. And that is God's design. That is God's purpose for us. These metaphors that are seen here and they're seen in other places, they show this very strongly to me. Listen to this. God never intended the church to be a solo sport. He didn't. Full of individuals trying to make it on their own with no connections with other people. That's not how God designed it. So I just want to challenge you with this. I know sometimes you may be home on a Sunday because you're sick or have some other things. I understand that. But living room church or online church is not God's design. Why? Because you don't have connections. Now, you'd be like, I'm feeling connection with the guy on the screen. No, you're not. You're feeling static electricity because it's dry in your house and you're walking on the carpet. And you're like, ooh, I had a moment. No, you didn't. Now, I'm not saying the guy that's on the TV is not preaching the word. Maybe he is. But if you're like, well, this is what I'm going to do from church. I'm going to just stay in my house and that's what I'm going to do for church. That you're missing God's design. You're having a family of one. And that's not how God has designed it. Number four, fourth reason why connecting is biblical. Your spiritual growth, my spiritual growth, will be stunted without connections. You will not grow up without connections. I don't mean maturity-wise. Well, maybe I do. But you understand what I'm saying. Your spiritual growth will be stunted. Here's what it says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. It says, and let us... Who do you think the us is? Us. See, it's always good just to repeat the word. It's just safe that way. So let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. The word spur, if you want to write this down in your notes, the word spur means to incite someone, like to incite a riot almost, to incite someone to do something. That's what the word spur means, incite someone to do something. So it is saying it is in your best interest to surround yourself with people who will incite you to spiritual growth. People that will influence you for spiritual growth, because we're supposed to spur each other on to that. And what happens is if we don't do that, if you don't do that, you and I will not reach the level of spiritual growth that God has designed for us. It is a fact, folks. You and I will not grow to the level spiritually that God wants us to if we don't allow other people to influence our lives. People that are going to point us closer to God. It's just a fact. Research has said that for children, when they are young, whether it's a sibling or a friend or a companion, if you can get those people in their lives and involved in their lives, they grow and develop more quickly and more with more depth mentally, physically, and emotionally. It's just a scientific fact. But if you take a child and you completely isolate them, they don't grow up and develop as quickly as others. It's just the way it is. Why? Because we're made for those kind of connections. So if you and I take that away from our lives, we will not grow up. That's actually one of the things that we talk about in counseling. If somebody comes in and they're struggling in their walk with God, one of the things we talk about in counseling is this. Who else is in your life? Who else is speaking into your life? Do you go to church? Do you expose yourself to other Christians? No, 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 no. Well, guess what? You're going to be stunted in your growth, and so will I. Fifth connection that's biblical is this. Connections provide a powerful witnessing tool. There's a biblical reason for connecting. Why would we connect? Because they provide a powerful witnessing tool. Listen to the words of Jesus Christ. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Jesus in John chapter 13 is getting ready to go away. He's going to be crucified. He's going to die, resurrect, and then he's going to leave and leave the disciples in charge. If you know anything about disciples, that's scary. I mean, anybody consulting Jesus would have said, don't leave those guys in charge. But he said, I'm going to leave you in charge. And one of the ways that you're going to draw people to my message of the gospel is when you love each other, when you're connected with each other. So if we connect with each other in a powerful way, I believe it's a very strong witnessing tool. Maybe you're in a community group, and maybe someone in your community group has a need, so you start making them meals, and you start taking care of them, and they're working with somebody, you know, they work in a business, and the business knows about the struggles they're going through, and their coworker says to them, hey, do you need me to help you with a meal? And they say, you know what, thanks, but no thanks, my community group has been bringing me meals and been taking care of me. And they went, what's a community group? Well, that's a group of believers from our church that I'm with, a small group, and they've come alongside of me, and they're helping me, and they're bringing me meals. Wow, that's what your church is about? Yeah, that's really what God's grace is all about. Is that a witnessing tool? Yes. And how did it happen? Because you were connected. And conversely, you can also turn people off by your connections. If we don't like each other, if we're all, you know, on each, you know, at each other's throat in conflict as believers, they don't want anything to do with it. Why would I connect with your group? You're always fighting with each other. You see the power in connecting? They will know you are Christians by your love for one another. One another means connection. So it's really important to understand that biblically speaking, connections, we need these. And I would be happy to, because I know that some of you maybe struggle with this idea of connection. You don't really like it. I would love to sit down with you and talk even more. There's more than these five, but it's not that we're just trying to press you into talking to other people. It's a biblical issue. It's a biblical theme. And I have found that whenever there's something that God wants us to do that will help us to grow, whenever there's something like that in Scripture, there will always be obstacles. We will bring them up, or Satan will bring them up. I don't know if you've figured that out or not. If you try to grow spiritually, there will be obstacles. So let me just mention a couple connecting obstacles. I'm not going to point fingers about who. You decide for yourself. Here's the first one. Relationship anxiety. Pam and I were talking a little bit about this last night because she got a hold of my notes, and she was reading my notes, and she's like, talk to me a little bit about what relationship anxiety means. And I really simply put it this way. Some even believers, don't really like other people. Like, I'd rather just be by myself. Let's be honest. They're like, hey, you want to come? No. No, I'm good. I'm good. So we have relationship anxiety, and I understand it. Or they want to just be around their own people. I'm good with my own people. Can I introduce you to somebody new? Not really. I'm good. So I understand that. But can you see how this can be an obstacle to growing and becoming more like Christ? I found this quote from Spurgeon that I thought was really cool. I'll just read it for you. It's not going to be on the screen. He said, some Christians try to go to heaven alone, in solitude. But he said, believers are not compared to bears or lions or other animals that wander alone. Those who belong to Christ are sheep in this respect, that they love to get together. Sheep go in flocks, and so do God's people. We're not meant to be, you know, the kind of animal, so to speak, that travels alone, wanders alone. We're meant to be in flocks. But it makes me anxious. I understand. We can work through that, but that's an obstacle. And you think about it. Who really wants you to be a person who isolates yourself? Would it be God or would it be Satan? Second obstacle is transparency anxiety. Oh, if I go to one of those community groups, they're going to say, what's your name? Tell us all your sin. What are your issues? You think community group is kind of like a support group, and you can't really move on unless you get to stand up and say, hi, my name's Jay, and I have problems. No, here's the problem with that analogy. First of all, the community groups are not like that, but there's also some truth to it. My name is Jay, and I do have problems. But we have transparency anxiety. But I have seen God work in amazing ways when people are connected and genuinely care for each other in the body of Christ, and they share and are transparent. Weight is lifted from them as they walk this journey together. You with me? I'm not talking about the person who picks up the stones to throw at you. Transparency, anxiety. We're anxious about sharing. We have to really deal with that obstacle. Because it has been said that nothing could be more damaging to fellowship and connecting than the practice of pretending that we don't have any problems. Now, I'm not going to ask you, we pretend, but I know you have problems. All right, I'm not going to ask you to tell me what they are. We have issues. We all do in different ways. But we're anxious about doing this. So you're going to have to work through this, because with transparency can come transformation. Here's a final obstacle. Previous bad experiences with connections, especially in the church. You don't trust anybody anymore. You connected with somebody, you told them your heart, and they put it out on Facebook. And you're like, what? They tweeted your deepest thoughts. And I know some of you are going, I don't even know what that is. Yeah, well, it's sending it out there to everybody to see. And so you're struggling with that because you've been burned. Well, let me tell you, the Bible says if you've ever been burned with connections, don't try again. That's what the Bible says. All right, I got a no thank you, David, for disagreeing with it. That's not what the Bible says, because you're going to have those moments. Would I dare to say that even in marriage, at times your connections are not always great? You're going to give up on that because you had one bad connection? No, don't do that. So we have to move beyond that. So how do we move beyond obstacles? Those are just some examples. I think one of the best ways to move beyond obstacles is to look at the benefits. I'm going to just go quickly here. There's some really great benefits to connecting. I want you to leave here ready to connect. Here's the first benefit, prayer support. Prayer support. Pastor Jay, that is a given. Anybody can pray for me. Yes, but there's a difference when there's connection. I realize that I can give a prayer request, and anybody in this room could pray for me or pray for that request. But if you're connected with me in a deeper level, you might actually call me during the week and ask me how it's going. You may ask me next Sunday, what's God doing in your life in relationship to that prayer request? I've really been praying for you. I'm asking God to just to take a hold of your life and answer that prayer. That will only happen in connection. Someone who just goes, oh, I'll pray for you, they're not going to ask. Now, I'm glad that they're praying, but it's deeper when there is connection. When Pam and I have a need, the people that we go to first are the people we're connected to. Sorry, but that's the way it is. To be honest, we go to the people who we know are going to pray for us, that we have had relationship with and continue to have relationship with. So you're like, I would love to have people pray for me. Then get connected with people. Sometimes, I'm just being honest as a pastor, sometimes people get upset because they throw out prayer requests, whether it's through the email or whatever, and then they feel like, I don't know that anybody's praying for you. And then I say, you know what? If I'm honest, I'm not sure people even know who you are. Well, what do you mean? I've been here for 20 years. Well, you don't really connect with people. You haven't made an effort to reach out with people and meet people. So you give a prayer request, and they're like, I don't even know who that person is. So connect, prayer support. Here's another benefit. Crisis and care support. We all have issues. We all have difficulties. We all struggle on the journey, correct? You can say yes. That's the only one answer, yes. Again, being brutally honest with you, and I think I can speak even for the other people on staff like Joe and Rex. When I'm going through something difficult, or we are as a couple or as a family, we're much more comfortable being transparent to the people we're connected with. It's just the way it is. I'm not going up to a first-time visitor and say, here, could you come to my office? I want to share everything in my life right now. It's much easier to do it that way because of the care and the helping us through a crisis. Last year when we entered into a, kind of a crisis mode with our family, the first people we told were some people from our community group that we're very close with, that we're very connected with. They were the first people because we knew they would come alongside of us. What a shame it would have been if we tried to think of someone to connect with and we couldn't think of anybody. And then eventually we shared it with more people, and then we shared it with you as a church. And since you, I think, for the most part, connected with us, you have walked this journey with us, and we say thank you. But there's a connection. That's a benefit. That's a benefit. Who's walking with you? Who's caring with you? I don't have anybody. Try to get connected. Here's another benefit, powerful benefit. Protection from falling away. See this way too often in ministry. When someone is struggling in their walk with God, usually the first thing, the first sign of that is they stop coming to church, any church. And they start isolating themselves from other believers. But the Bible says that there is power in staying connected because it helps us from falling away. Let me read a couple verses for you. I think, do we have the slide there? Yeah. Hebrews chapter 3. It says, "See to it, brothers and sisters, fellow believers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God." You don't want that, do you? Do you want an unbelieving heart that turns away from God? I don't. So what do? "Encourage one another daily as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." One of the ways that we stay on track with God is that we have people in our life who are willing to say, "Hey, I missed you here at church. Hey, you haven't called me in a while. Hey, I'm noticing some things in your life that maybe are pulling away from God. Can we talk about that?" Keeping people, helping people from falling away. Well, how does that happen best? In connection. Because if you don't know me, and you're walking up to me and telling me I got something wrong that I need to change, the claws come out. If I don't know you, and I don't think you even care about me, it's not going to happen. Now, I'm not saying we still won't be defensive, but we'll be less defensive if that person that comes alongside of us and says, "I want to keep you from falling away," as someone you're connected with. Do you have that? People that fall away from God or fall away from church are not connected. You need to be connected. That's a huge benefit. One more benefit of this, there's a lot of them, is connecting with other believers gives you an outlet for the one another's of Scripture. The outlets for the one another's of Scripture. This spring, we're going to be doing a series on the one another's of Scripture. We're not going to do all of them because there's a whole bunch, but we're going to pick a few. And you're familiar with some of them. Bear one another's burdens. Encourage one another. Love one another. Accept one another. You've heard some of those. Those are all found throughout Scripture. But listen, they are not intended to be self-inflicted. This is what I mean. I'm not supposed to stand around and encourage me. Love me. Accept me. Sounds like I'm in session or counseling. I love me, I encourage me, I bear with my own burdens. They're not meant to be self-inflicted. You and I are supposed to love one another. We're supposed to bear with one another's burdens. We're supposed to what? Encourage one another. How in the world is that going to happen? Only if you are connected. Practically speaking, you can't use one another's on nobody. Not even sure if that was proper grammar or whatever. You know what I'm saying? If you have nobody in your life, what are you going to practice the one another's on? Nothing. So that's a benefit because these things are given to us as examples. So connect with other believers. That's a purpose. You want to become a better disciple. It's not just about pursuing spiritual maturity. It's about connecting with other believers because it's biblical and beneficial. Now, last thing here. I left some space here. Just going to give you some words right out here as we wrap up. You with me, folks? I know it gets a sleepy, wintry day. Let's stay together here. So the question that I would ask, and I'm so glad you did, is how do you connect at Bible Baptist Church? If you're telling me it's biblical, it's beneficial, then tell me some ways I need to be connected. You're welcome. Here we go. Here's one way. Write down the word serving. If you serve, you can be connected. I love walking down the hallway, and every once in a while I'll see two people at the check-in counter, and a couple weeks ago I saw two people at the check-in counter, and they didn't know each other still till they started working together at the check-in counter, and they're giggling like they've known each other for 20 years. How did that connection happen? They were serving together. We got people that serve together in Awana. They sit on the floor and get on every nook and cranny of the building, and they didn't really know each other until they started serving together in Awana, and now they laugh about the verses they don't remember and dealing with the kids and the stories from the kids. Is that connecting? Absolutely. You want to learn to connect? Go in the nursery. Because let's say all the kids are kind of settled down, and then you're just looking at each other. I don't know who you are. I mean, you could just sit there and just do nothing, or you could maybe talk to the person in the nursery. And we see, this happens all the time. When you serve, you connect. Another one is events. We have events here at the church. We have a Monday night exercise class. You want to connect with some people? Sweat with them. I mean, there's no better way to connect. There's an exercise class. It's in the bulletin. You could go to the married people event. Married couples, you want to connect with some other married couples? Guess what? Come to the married people event. I don't know any other married people. Hello? Go to the married people event, and guess who you will meet? Other married people. And you'll find out that they are just as messed up as you. And you get to play games together. You want to meet some people? Go to the counseling seminar. We have a cookie drop coming up where we can deliver cookies and put the plates together here. Oh, what am I going to do? I don't know anybody. Well, come and put cookies together and find out who people are. How about classes? That's another word you might want to write down. You could go to the Gospel Project and learn about people in that class and interact with them. We have a ladies' Bible study. You want to connect? Go to ladies' Bible study. We have this truth and love training that Rex is doing. You could meet the people in that class. So we have classes, ways you can connect. I know I'm going really fast. Here we go. Informally is another big word you could write down. What do you mean by connecting informally? Greeting time. Next Sunday, go after somebody else. Freak them out and go after somebody you've never met and just make a beeline right to them. I don't know who you are, but I'm connecting. Go for it. You can connect in the foyer. You love to do that. We can't get you to come into church. When the weather's nice, you can connect in the parking lot. Or you could just put your Bible down and head to your car and don't look anybody in the eye. Could do that. Hospitality is another way to connect. Have people over to your house. If you don't want to have people over your house for dinner, then get to know people so well that they invite you to their house. I don't care which way it works. You're like, I want to have a meal. Then get to know people. Inevitably, maybe they, hey, you want to come over? Yes. Yes, I do. Sit around and have a meal with them. The greatest way that we say that you can connect here, though, is community groups. Community groups. We talk about it all the time, but we still don't have the number of adults that we'd like in a community group. And I'm challenging, go for it. Find a community group and try it. Will it be a different experience? Yes. Will you connect with people? Yes. Are there some struggles in being in a community group? Absolutely. Will you find relationships there? If you try, you really will. You really will. So, let me close in this way. You most certainly will become a better disciple if you connect with other believers. It's a guarantee. It's a guarantee. I call it the Lego principle. And this is what I mean, that early on, Legos were made to stack. I did not know that till this week. Early on, Legos were made to stack, but then the ability to connect was a revolutionary change that set them apart from building blocks. They're made to connect. So what I'm going to do this morning, because you're so excited about this, I can tell already, even though you don't know what it is. Jim, go ahead and get your guys ready. We're going to give each of you a Lego. All right? So guys, the ushers, get up and come on up here. You're going to help us out here like the offering ushers. Listen, when the buckets come around, do not put money in them. Come on right up, guys. You don't have to just come right up here. All right? You two can start from the back. You guys can start from the front. That'd be great. There's only one in the back. Oh, I got to give him a bucket. Thanks, Jim. All right, so please don't take forever and amen to do this. Just reach in, go ahead and start, and grab a Lego. And don't go anyplace. Don't put any money in. Just pass the bucket down. Pass the bucket down. Pass the bucket down, just like the offering plate. Pass it down. Come on. We're just not putting money in. There we go. I'm probably messing you all up. Grab a Lego. If you got a Lego, let me see the Lego. Anybody got a Lego so far? All right, put it down. Hey, if you're near somebody who has a Lego, let's practice connecting, see if they work. All right? Go ahead, Joe. You can, yeah. And then give it back to them. Once you connect, give it back to them. Don't take away their Lego. All right, everybody have a Lego? Anybody not have a Lego? Who's needing a Lego? Vince, how's it going back there? You have one? All right, so thank you guys. You can put those back. Everybody show me your Lego, please. Show me your Lego. Everybody got a Lego? All right, one more time. Connect with somebody. Somebody else. You don't have to get up. Everybody got a Lego? All right, that's good. Pulled apart. So listen, hey, listen. I know this is like the best part of the service. It's so sad. There's one thing, listen, one thing that all Legos have in common. Do you know what that is? They connect. So all followers of Christ are meant to connect. So this week, you're never going to hear this again. Go and be a Lego. Goodbye, you're done. Take your Lego, don't leave it in the pew, go and be a Lego. Go and connect.